Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, May 2nd. In the final days of the legislative session, state lawmakers are scrambling to reach a deal to avoid having to cut $500 million to the state's hospitals. Benta Berkland has more.
The cuts are needed to balance the budget and prevent the state from reaching a revenue cap under the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights. Republican Senator Jerry Sonnenberg of Sterling thought he'd reached a deal with Democrats to restore the money.
She said, would you initial this to show that we have a deal? And I indeed initialed that paper to show we had a deal.
But Democratic House Majority Leader Casey Becker of Boulder says there's still one major sticking point, whether or not to increase the co-pays for low-income people on Medicaid.
That's no trifling matter. It's not something we can just insert and think it's not going to have an impact.
The expansive bill removes a hospital fee from counting against the Tabor limit. It would increase taxes on marijuana, sell certain state buildings, and lease them back, using the money for transportation funding. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
The regular meeting of the Paonia Town Council last Tuesday night had much in the way of theater, but little in the way of furthering the business of the town. Over the course of the 4+ hours during the meeting, there were trustees acting out of order, personality conflicts between trustees and the mayor, and an ongoing dispute about how to apply a recently adopted code of conduct for elected officials. At issue was the executive session held in the previous meeting on April 11th. The executive session was originally held for discussion with the town attorney regarding a request under the Colorado Open Records Act. In the meeting last Tuesday, trustees twice tried to bring up what happened in that executive session, but were denied both times by Mayor Charles Stewart. First, Trustee Bill Bruner made a motion to add an item onto the agenda. Specifically, he asked the mayor to add a discussion of the standards of conduct with possible application of sanctions enumerated in that policy relative to conduct displayed in the executive session of April 11th. Mayor Stewart denied the request, citing Section 23 of Robert's Rules of Order and declaring that Bruner's request was not timely. Some 2 hours later, Trustee Suzanne Watson made a motion that the minutes from the meeting of April 11th be amended to include her statement that she believes the standards of conduct were violated during the executive session. After much heated discussion, Watson's motion was seconded and approved by a vote of 5-1. Watson's statement that was officially added to the minutes reads, quote, I asked that it be noted for the record that Resolution Number 2017-06, establishing standards of conduct for elected officials, had been violated, and I complained of another trustee's behavior toward me. I specifically cited Section 2, Personal Conduct, Item C, No member shall berate, intimidate, or belittle others for expressing their opinions or viewpoints, or engage in speech that is inflammatory, defamatory, demeaning, bullying, or threatening, end quote. After the meeting, Watson spoke with KVNF News and talked about why she wanted her comment amended into the minutes.
I don't think the code of conduct should be violated during secret meetings as well as the public meetings. I wouldn't want the executive sessions to be used as a cover for abusing the code of conduct, let's say. And that's why I mentioned it after the meeting, because I felt that we had violated the code of conduct and I wanted it to be noted for the record. So just because the meeting was an executive session and it was not open to the public, I don't think gives us license to be disrespectful toward each other.
Mayor Stewart also talked with KVNF News and clarified that the new standards of conduct do apply in executive session, but the difficulty arises out of the fact that trustees, by law, can't talk about what is discussed in executive session.
My view is the code of conduct applies at all times, including in an executive session. So if, in fact, a violation occurs during a meeting, all the board members have an obligation to address it immediately. It becomes a little more complicated when you're in executive session because you cannot take formal action in executive session. And you can't discuss in an open meeting what was discussed in an executive session. So procedurally, it becomes a little more difficult. But there is nothing that would prevent a board member, when we come out of an executive session, if they believe that there was some violation of the code of conduct, to make a motion for some penalty or sanction to be imposed. The trick would be that the board would not be in a position to discuss the content of the conversations during the executive session in an open meeting. But yes, it does apply, and yes, we can procedurally deal with that issue.
Watson maintained that the new code of conduct is not consistent, and there is still much uncertainty about how the ordinance should be enforced.
We just passed a new code of conduct for the elected officials. I think it was probably passed for a reason. I think everybody probably recognizes that things can be a little rocky between the council. So this was perhaps an attempt to make things run a little bit more smoothly. But to me, the question is, how are we interpreting this? How are we going to be enforcing it? Something happened to me that was very uncomfortable during that meeting, and I wanted it to be noted for the record that I believe we had violated the code of conduct during the executive session.
The next regular meeting of the Paonia Town Council is May 9th at 7 p.m. at Paonia Town Hall. And finally today, Longmont's City Council could move one step closer to designating the city a sanctuary for undocumented immigrants.
Tonight, the Longmont City Council is set to consider a sanctuary city proposal. Jose Beteta with the Latino Chamber of Commerce says the move would help ensure that longtime law-abiding residents know that it's okay to call the police. You won't be turned over to Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents if you're a victim of or witness crime.
That word, you're using the word sanctuary city. And what that is doing is it's not changing the policies, it's not changing anything other than letting your undocumented population know that their city cares about them.
Beteta says Longmont is already withholding local law enforcement resources from federal agents who want to identify and deport undocumented immigrants. Beteta says an official city policy will help build trust between communities and police and lead to less risk of abuse. The proposed ordinance would still allow officers to turn over people who commit crimes to ICE. Last week, a federal judge blocked President Trump's executive order to withhold funding for sanctuary cities. Beteta says the majority of undocumented immigrants want an official path to address their status, but are essentially stuck until Congress acts on immigration reform.
The sanctuary cities is a temporary protection on a broken immigration system that allows cities to protect all of its residents who have not committed any crimes, who on a daily basis contribute to the cities.
This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould.